Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And I guess we're plowing through April, almost done.
Yeah, almost.
It's all I have to say, by the way, these openings.
I know. It's pretty much, but you've got it down so well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, nobody does it. I got to tell you, nobody does it like you.
That's apparently true.
How was your week?
Good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Anything interesting?
Rained a little bit over the weekend to give people some hope.
So, oh, yeah. We had tornadoes here today.
What is that?
I don't know.
When does Florida have tornadoes? You're not in Tornado Alley. It's not like the other conditions for tornadoes. It's mostly water. Water spouts, I could see maybe.
We definitely get water spouts here. I mean, I've been on the boat when there's water spouts, and it's kind of you just pack it up and run. But there was, starting about 3 o'clock, I saw some clouds outside. I saw some lightning and thunder kind of happening. I'm like, when's the last time we saw thunder and lightning outside of summer? I have no idea. And then all of a sudden I start getting this, my phone starts going bananas with these alerts. They push these alerts through, like the Amber alerts and the, you know, it's these weather. It's just, and it's just going crazy. Oh, you know, 3 o'clock is a tornado warning, not even a watch, a warning till 4 o'clock. And then I'm like, okay, 4 o'clock comes and goes. There was some rain. It was pretty windy. And then also at 4 o'clock, tornado watch extended. Or tornado warning extended till 5.
Jeez. So,
yeah, it's
bad. Did a tornado ever show up?
Something happened down the block. My house doesn't have any cable. There's power. There's no internet or TV. So I heard that there's a lot of construction down here. So I heard one of these big cranes fell over.
Oh.
And it must have crashed into a whole bunch of stuff. So something's bad. Something's bad. But let me tell you what's going on with the markets, because things have been a little bit sloppy. As a matter of fact, really sloppy over the last week or so. We saw that the markets finished in the red for the week after we saw the trade war rhetoric pump up. There was a $50 billion idea that was floated, and that was it was concerning. And then that was walked back by a variety of different parties. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, President Trump decides that, you know, if China's going to come back at us with retaliatory tariffs, then you know what? Maybe $50 billion wasn't enough. So he says, you know what? Let's add another $100 billion. So that kind of got markets a bit uneasy.
Skittish.
A little nervous. So that kind of sunk markets. And then we had more headlines hitting. Monday, things were just going along swimmingly as the idea that, okay, maybe it's not going to be as bad. And then we saw this FBI raid of Trump's attorney.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The house, the office, his hotel room. And then...
what's he hiding? Is he a dope dealer?
I don't know. I think they're into this whole... They're really into this... What happened to the $130,000? Why did his attorney pay it privately as a friend, as a non-attorney? And I think they opened up somehow a can of worms when the attorney said that he paid it on behalf of Trump as a friend. And therefore, that now skirts the potential attorney-client privilege items. And, of course, he took this money out of his home equity line somehow. The attorney went for... This is Trump's attorney that needs to go and get $130,000 and doesn't have it in a readily available position somehow. He has to go and get a home equity loan, which is bizarre.
Wow, this is a guy with that much cash flow.
Just bizarre. So I guess they're looking... I guess they're looking into this.
So, and this has to do with Russian collusion. How?
I guess Stormy Daniels is Russian.
Okay, that would explain it.
That seems like the only thing that I could think of. But I guess they're going to try to see if there's some thing they can pin on him for maybe election finance, something or other. And
yeah, there's a possibility.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. It's just getting a little bit crazy. So, then we saw some calming conditions. President Xi from China got up there in his old... This is not a jolly fellow. You ever see this guy talk? Barely moves his lips.
Yeah, he looks like he's constipated.
Very, not only constipated, miserably constipated. He's just not in good shape there. And I guess he commented on a few things and talked about how, well, we want to have, you know, global fairness and all this, and we want to have lower tariffs on cars into China, and, you know, intellectual property we're going to really clamp down on. So markets got all excited about that today. So they were just ramped up by another 450 points. Yesterday, they were up for like 450 or 500 points. And then this news of President Trump's attorney getting raided, or as President Trump said, they broke into his house. You know, they broke in. But that caused a lot of problems. So this up and down 400 points a day is pretty crazy.
Well, this looks like an opportunity for someone who's controlling it, like Xi, or, you know, the Chinese government, to play the market.
It is a day trader's dream. It really is. I mean, the stuff moves so quickly, and the headlines that come out are overwhelming, and they just move the markets tremendously. I mean, today was a day that looked like no matter what happened, they were going to move markets up. It was just in the texture of what I saw happening. So we really didn't want to get too crazy in any major positions short. But we saw that, you know, the headline risk that everything that comes out, any item, whether it's trade. Well, one thing was interesting. The one item that did come out today that seemed to be something that should have been concerning for the markets, which was for some time, was that the PPI, the producer price index, came out hot. In other words, more inflation. And we'll talk about that in a second, because I got a few things going on with inflation and these tariffs that are pretty interesting. But markets are going back and forth. I think it's the only thing I could compare it to is like trying to hit a fastball with a blindfold on all day long, all day long. All day long, just trying to stand up there like an idiot, trying to hit a fastball, and you just have blinders on. You can't see anything. And that's kind of how this stuff is coming out. You don't know when it's going to come out, what's going to be about, how the market's going to react, how the algos are going to read the headlines. It's nuts, absolutely nuts. So I guess what's next then? We have to ask, what's the next headline? Because there's going to be other headlines. And, you know, it seems that there's a lot of desire to make sure that focus is put on other things besides some of the things that are going on. So it looks like maybe Syrian military action, that looks like it's headed for something very shortly.
Yes, that would be bad for the market, I think. But then again,
who knows?
I can't predict it. It could go up. Great. We're bombing Syria. Let's buy.
Yeah. Inflation concerns could be an issue. The firing of Mueller.
Mueller's not going to get fired.
I think his second is. There's some scatterbutt about, what's his name, Rothenstein?
Rosenberg, I think, or Rosen something.
Yep. More retaliation from
Rosenthal.
China. We don't know if he's going to be coming back with something after he kind of calmed markets down. A repeal or rescission of the latest budget spending bill. That's been talked about.
That would do something.
Yep. Earnings guidance coming. Why? Could be because
president. No, but what? Well, would it go up? Would it go down?
If they repealed it, it would seem to me that would be beneficial for the dollar, and that would probably cause markets to go down because it's less spending. Then again, I could probably make a case for the other side too.
Yes, that's the problem. You can make a case for anything. That's the old trick.
Yeah, I can make a case if I had to, I guess. If I sat here 10 minutes later, I'm sure I could find a reason why. And that's what that's what the media does. They try to.
I used to work in that. I used to do that.
Yeah, you used to find some things.
No, so the market goes down, you come up with you look around and people have all these, they dream of all these crazy reasons. And you say, yeah, that's the reason.
That's the reason.
And the same thing, an exact same scenario takes place and the market goes up. There's some other bullcrap reason.
Yeah.
It's just it's a hilarious thing to watch.
But it's gotten really crazy. I mean, seriously, this is the most volatility that I recall in a very long time in an environment that you wouldn't expect it to be. I mean, when banks were starting to get to the point that they were possibly going out of business, the country was going to go bankrupt, essentially. People losing their houses. I mean, all these things that are going on, earnings were falling off, people were being unemployed. I mean, I get how a recession and those times see this kind of movement, but this 1%, at least 1% move a day is bizarre.
Well,
yep. And then we have, of course,
enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, we have earnings coming out this week. That's going to be another issue. Fed hawkishness possibly in Wednesday's FOMC meeting. And you can see that this is obviously not just a situation that's going to go away quickly because the VIX is still hovering around 20.
Yeah.
So this is the 30-day volatility that is expressed in terms of the S&P 500 futures and what the expected volatility would be over that period. So, you know, 20 is pretty high compared to especially what we had this year last year where we historically low, averaging about 10. I wrote about this in my quarterly. I sent that to you. The quarterly.
No, I didn't get it.
I did send it to you.
Okay, I'll look.
Yeah, I sent it to you. I sent a lot of things to you that I haven't got responses from, but I have these written down. I know how to do this now. I figured you out after all these years.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got? So there's a VIX chart there, and you can actually see these charts once we post this after the show. Go over to DH Unplugged and episode number 403 in the show notes is the little chart you can click on. Investors also pulled out $11.6 billion from U.S. equity-based funds last week. So there's a third straight week of withdrawals, according to Lipper. So there's definitely people are pulling. There's no question about that. And as they pull out, they start getting that, you know, that seller's remorse when they start. And then, so when you have a lot of money that comes out of the markets over a period of time, there's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines. Some people may be committed to leaving it on the sidelines, but others are like, all right, let me just wait till it gets above a certain level. And the problem is things are moving so quickly and they're moving above levels and below levels so rapidly and so often that money's coming in, going out. And you don't know by the end of the week, it could have been that if Friday was a good day, maybe money would have been net positive for the week into equity funds.
So you haven't seen any pattern?
No. Here's the pattern that I see. Seriously. If we see a big...
So in other words, you haven't seen a pattern. Now you're going to give us a gag.
No, I'm not going to give you... No. Here's what I see. If markets are way down, especially futures, pre-market, you want to look to buy once it's at any point where it stabilizes. Usually what happens at 9:30, people start buying in. There's just on the bell, like Pavlovian response. That's buying in. And then it's on a down kind of tilt, it will come back in and may even crap below the open or somewhere. But once you see that it gets towards the low of the day again, and it holds a couple of like maybe a 5-minute tick bar or 5-minute bar or 10-minute bar, it's usually a good sign that you could buy in, especially in the early morning through, let's say, 11 o'clock. And the opposite is true also. If markets are screaming higher, you want to probably put a short on right there. You know, if you see a 1.5% move on the markets to the upside these days, let's put a short on. Worst comes to worst, you'll get out of it in the morning for a couple of points here or there. But generally speaking, it's been, I don't think there's been 2 days. Oh, yesterday was up and today was up. So there hasn't really been too many 2 days in a row in the same direction in a while. There's too much headlines.
Well, sounds nightmarish if you're actually working it on a day-to-day basis.
It's a little bit rough. You know, you can, today I was, what was I doing? I was doing something today. And
you get a lot of Pepto-Bismol around the office?
I don't know. I was doing something today and then I walked away for 5 minutes from my desk. I was doing something and I walked back and I just looked over. I'm like, what in the world? We were up like 1.7% on the S&P and it was now like up 1.1 in a matter of like 5 minutes. That's a pretty quick move. 60 basis points.
You have to keep a Bloomberg terminal in the bathroom.
Oh, maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Have an extension there. What's coming up for the week ahead? So there's important things that we need to be aware of. So on Wednesday, we have CPI, which is the Consumer Price Index or inflation. We have crude inventories. Crude prices have been moving up very nicely. As soon as Saudi Arabia pulled the Aramco deal, that's when crude prices started spiking again. Because we all know that they need those crude prices high to get that IPO at the best price possible. And now they're still talking about production cuts. And now we have the potential war in Syria and all this, you know, Middle East stuff. And that's helping, I think we're at, what, 64? Let's see.
Something like that.
65 on crude. And we also have the FOMC minutes. These are the minutes from the February meeting coming out when they met. And we'll see how hawkish or how dovish they are. But they've been talking rather hawkishly still. So is Powell. Thursday, import and export prices. important to look at those to understand what's going on with the potential for the difference between how much companies are paying to get goods versus how much they're getting to sell their goods. So if import prices are high and export prices are low, that's a problem, and vice versa. If import prices are low, that's good. They can produce the product, sell for higher, and export it for higher. That would be a good thing. And then Friday, we have the Michigan sentiment for April coming out. Now, earnings, we have Bed Bath & Beyond on Wednesday. We're starting earnings week officially this week, or earnings season this week. So you got Wednesday, Bed Bath & Beyond, not a big deal. Thursday is going to be BlackRock and Delta as the big names. But Friday comes in Citigroup, JP Morgan, and Wells Fargo. Now, next week, we're going to see earnings from some of the bigger names. We're going to see Netflix on Monday. Then we're going to see Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, IBM, CSX, Amex, United Rentals, to name a few that I think are important. And then the next week after that, starting April 23rd, the tech titans are going to start your report. So we'll see, I guess, if any of this hoo-ha is going to affect Facebook in their outlook. So far, most people are like, no, it's not going to affect, you know. Zuckerberg came out initially last week. No, we don't see anything changing with our advertisers. And then Sheryl Sandberg comes out the next day and says, you know, we're already starting to see a little bit of concern from some of the advertisers pulling back a little bit. So I don't know who's right.
I don't either. I watched him testify today.
What do you think?
He's pretty unflappable, it looks like. I mean, he seemed irked, but he just kind of seems irked anyway most of the time. Until he puts that stupid smile on his face, which always seems insincere.
And nervous.
Nervous, a little nervous, seems so, a little bit. He sat up straight. And with some pictures going around of him sitting, he sits very straight. He's got good posture.
He's not used to wearing a tie.
No, I'm surprised he didn't come in with his t-shirt and just say, hey, this is me.
Some of the questions that the senators asked were totally stupid.
Well, most of them were stupid. I thought that that one guy, the ex prosecutor, Blumenthal or whatever his name is, asked a couple of good questions because he has some good evidence against the company. But
was that the question of if a user closes their account, cancels their account, deletes their account, how long does Facebook keep the data?
This question was involved with the guys who legitimately took all the data and sold it to Cambridge Analytica. They had their own EULA that gave them permission to do that. So the big fuss was for nothing, and the EULA was in contradiction to the government order against Facebook that was, I think, put down in 2011 to protect privacy. It's very interesting. They actually have a case against them with this. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but they have it.
Yeah. Well, we also, let me just finish up one more point here and then we can go off to some of this other Facebook issues. But there was some sanctions put against Russian companies, specifically the global aluminum producer Rusal. And this happened over the weekend, I guess. And the Russian RTS index plunged 11.4% on Monday. Biggest decline since December 2014, when it fell about 12%. And this is the U.S. sanctioned several Russian oligarchs, officials, businesses, and agencies. And they also sent aluminum prices surging on Monday. Benchmark aluminum in the London Metal Exchange hit its highest level in more than a month. It definitely moved it up higher, and aluminum started coming down after all of the tariffs were kind of excluded from all these countries. But the Russian market looks pretty ugly right now. There's obviously more happening here. But what I think is, I put a chart of that too. You can see that.
Do we have any investment opportunities there
in Russia? I mean, I think that you would think that Russia will prop up their market, and this thing will pass over eventually, and there'll be some opportunity here. But, you know, now that we have this potential war with Syria, which is really an adjunct with Russia, right? It's back to that whole round and round of, you know, Russia supports Syria and we're going to, I don't know.
Let's just keep the market depressed and give you some opportunity to find the good bargains there.
I would think so.
And there are Russian companies that are good.
Yeah, there's Yandex. is a what are the good companies? There's several companies that are good. They got all got smoked. The Mobile Telesis, which is their mobile company, you know, their cellular carrier. I believe that's that got just hammered. That's great because of the whole Russian market came down.
So it just took it with it?
Took everything with it. I mean, everything. I didn't see anything in Russian that was on the Russian stocks that held up at all. It was ugly. But the more important.
What's our opportunity as Americans to invest in the Russian stock market?
Well, you can invest in ADRs here. First of all, you can invest in, for example, this chart that I have here is the VanEck Vectors Russia ETF, which is symbol RSX. There's also RUSS, which I think is a double, no, it's a triple. Triple short, and there's RUSL, which is a triple long. Those were down 35% or so that day.
Oh, is that there now? That might be something good for our game.
Let's see here. Let's go to RUSL, enter.
RUSL is the triple?
Yeah, that was up 3% today. So I guess there was a big turnaround today after it was down about 30% yesterday, 30-something percent yesterday.
I think we should put it on our list.
Yeah, it was at 60. Let's see what price is. It was, within the last 5 days, it was at $58, and now it's at $38.
That sounds like a buying opportunity.
Yep.
I mean, what else can they do to the Russians?
They're not going to do anything else to the Russians, probably. This was I don't know what other kind of sanctions they're going to put on, but I mean, this, you know, the only thing is that the whole Facebook thing and the whole election thing and the whole everything, it seems to all. I feel like I'm in one of these weird spy movies that everything that happens bad is the Russians' fault. Does it seem like that?
Yeah, well, they're easy to blame because, you know, they can't defend themselves. I mean, nobody pays it. I mean, they can defend themselves, but nobody ever takes their side.
Well, no, nobody ever takes their side here. I mean, China.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Here. You can get plenty of good stories about, you know, some other forms of reality from, you know, Russian sources and other sources around them. And people who are actual reporters that go in looking for the facts instead of just, you know, spewing some anti-Russian line.
And then you have the UK is all pissed off at them. You know, the UK says that they poisoned their double agent.
And yeah, and that's very sketchy.
Russia said it was a hoax and the UK did it just to make them look bad.
Well, I don't know if the UK did it, but somebody does have a hoax, has a hoax-like quality.
Yeah. But the thing that I was going to really bring up about this, we could put this on the list, but one of the thing that is really interesting is that the problem with these sanctions or these tariffs or all this, they're all inflationary in a big way, because if you have aluminum prices skyrocketing because of this and you're hitting these areas, it's going to make its way down to what you and I pay for things.
Yeah. So it's counterproductive.
It is counterproductive. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it if somebody does something wrong and make sure that they're punished for it. But, you know, the China sanctions where you try to hit them with $50 billion, then throw on an extra $100 billion on top of it just for good measure seems a little absurd. I mean, we're worried about the big worry, the big byline on this has been, well, when we send cars over to China, there's a 25% excise tax is put onto it, right? But when China sends cars over to here, there's only a 2% excise tax put on it. So the first question I'm is, what's a Chinese car here anyway?
I've never seen one.
Could you even think of a brand? Does anybody know what a brand is of a Chinese car?
I can't think of one offhand. The Chungking and the Owl. I have no idea.
What are we so concerned about? Man, it's just.
Well, what we're concerned about is, well, that's, yeah, on this side is no concern, but we're concerned about the excise tax of 25% being put on our cars so we can't sell cars.
I understand that and I get it. And it isn't fair, but we got to pick a fight that is a little bit more equal, unless you want to offset it with something else that they send here. So they should reduce it down, obviously, but they want to sell their own cars there. And there's probably the reason is their cars are substandard and that they want to make sure that, what else reason would there be for them to put on a tariff like that to try to prevent sales from the United States? Well, to benefit their companies, of course. And if you didn't have that and the playing field was equal, maybe people wouldn't buy those products.
Yeah, that's their rationale. We kind of have the same rationale on our side. I mean, we have a lot of substandard stuff that we make.
Of course. And then
we can't even make a TV anymore.
Nope. And then look at the other problem is if you start putting tariffs on their products, that means that it's going to be that much more expensive. One of the things that we like as Americans is cheap products. We like our cheap products.
Yeah, and there's some argument to be made for if stuff is cheaper than it would cost us to make it. Isn't that like a net benefit to the society as a whole, getting high quality, cheap goods?
Yep. It would seem that way.
I mean, we used to be mostly an importing company country back in the 1700s, too. We weren't making the good porcelain. We'd bring it over.
Yeah. But now we, you know, we have control over only part of it because we've become so desire. It's much easier to get it, too. It doesn't take a ship 3 weeks to get it over here. It takes, you know, or maybe for 3 months to get over here. It may take a week or two.
Right.
So it's, we can get it quickly. We can buy from a variety of sources like Alibaba that sells in mass quantity. So and then you know, the thing is also that I guess I think that I agree there should be a level playing field. But then the other problem is you start doing that and everybody, you know, China says, okay, that's good. Then they start messing with their currency. Then they start finagling around and making it so that the same thing happens. They'll just drop their currency, make it more expensive to bring in goods from the United States.
It's an old trick.
Yeah. So we're not winning this one. The other problem is that you got to know your player. There's another thing we wrote about in the quarterly newsletter. You can grab it over on the Disciplined Investor, by the way, last episode. Or actually, there's a post up. You can grab the latest quarterly that we write. But the other thing is that you got to know your player. So one of the things that Trump did was he essentially with his $100 billion, it's like in poker, you know, there's an all-in or a push, they call it, where you take all your chips and you say, okay, I'm betting everything.
And yeah.
You hope that everybody around the table doesn't have enough of a hand that they feel confident that they're willing to lose their whole stack for. The problem is that with President Xi now having a lifetime where he's going to be in power, you know, they changed the Constitution recently. What does he have to lose? There's no political incentive for him to do anything different.
Right. He's not running for office.
He's not running for office. So therefore, he doesn't have to worry about if it hurts a little bit here or there or not. You know, he's going to just stick to what he wants to do, feeling that he's going to protect his country and his economy. So anyway, moving along. So the big question was, I think that everybody was trying to get to, back to the Facebook issue. Was this a one-off with the Cambridge Analytica situation? And already we're finding that Facebook is suspending data analytics from a company called CubeU from the platform. After this weekend, CNBC notified the company that CubeU was collecting information about users through quizzes, which is the same tactic. So they mislabeled quizzes for nonprofit academic research, then shared the user information with marketers. Kind of the same thing that happened with Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah, the way to do it. So, they're just trying to do end runs on Facebook itself.
Yep. So this problem, so the big question then is,
I mean, for example, I'm just going to throw this out there. Let's say you want a mailing list of 10,000 Facebook users who are Republicans that live in California.
Okay.
Which would be an odd group.
That'd be all,
you
all
could
of
rent
them.
That. I'm sure you could rent that list from Facebook, or you can rent it from somebody else at half the price who stole it from Facebook.
I don't think Facebook sells their data. Actually, he was pretty...
No, they don't sell their data and they don't sell their mailing list. But you can talk, yes, but somebody could steal. Maybe that's the reason this data is being stolen. It's because Facebook's not offering it.
Well, but then again, you know, their whole model is not to offer their information out. And basically these companies are just doing an end run around them, which we have to question how much does Facebook know or not know. You would think with all of the tools they have, with all of the knowledge and the programmers, they know what's going on. Don't you think?
I don't know. It's pretty big. I don't know. I'm of the opinion that they don't know that a lot of the stuff going on, I think they're oblivious to. I think they got 15,000 people, he says, working on making sure that the thing is not, this isn't happening. I don't think they can do it. Somebody in China right now collecting mailing addresses, email addresses, and putting them aside. How are they going to spot that?
That's true.
You're starting a food club. But little wine and food operation. And you want people to get it, your newsletter. You'll be putting it on Facebook, sure, but you also have one to mail out. And give us your mailing address, your email address, and then we'll send you the newsletter. And you start collecting names. Facebook can't do anything about that.
Right, but don't you think that Facebook understood the privacy settings, whereas it's fine if I am asking, if you're asking me to sign up for your newsletter, essentially, and I put in my email address and my name and my phone number, let's say. I did that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But the problem is that...
Right, this stuff was being somehow stolen.
Not only stolen, but it was all my friends' data was being able to be accessed as well.
Yeah, well, that's been shut down.
That's where the problem was. I always knew that was a problem. I always was like, no, 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 every time I was on Facebook with that stuff. At least I thought I was. Maybe, who knows, maybe my stuff was stolen. I don't know. But anyway, this is the continuation of the constant barrage of hacks and data being stolen, and nothing's safe out there. Everybody thinks it is, but nothing is. Don't you agree?
I'm totally in agreement with that. That's why I don't even carry a cell phone with me.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to be tracked. Into the cryptocurrency world. Remember that company Longfin we talked about, how the stock was up to 140, yeah, came down, and the guy was on, then he went on CNBC, the schmuck, and he started arguing with how this deal was and the revenue that comes in and the corporate structure and the different companies that own it and how it worked and this whole thing that he was talking about, this guy. Hard to understand. I don't know why in the world this guy would go on CNBC and be basically taken apart because his information was just so crazy what he was talking about. Unless he was just one of those guys that likes to get on TV.
Yeah, it could be.
So trading on Friday was halted on Longfin after the SEC obtained a court order to freeze more than $27 million in supposed illegal stock sales. And they accused the company's CEO, the guy that was on TV, and controlling shareholder Venkata Meenavali of having more than 2 million unregistered shares issued to another director in his company. In addition, tens of thousands of restricted shares were also allegedly given to other affiliates. And many are said to have been illegally sold when the price rocketed higher. You know, that one, remember, right, rocketed to like 140 or something like that?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Bunch of more shenanigans, constant shenanigans. That's another thing I don't think. I mean, I think that everybody thinks that this cryptocurrency stuff is safe. I'm not buying it.
Well, how can it be safe?
It's clearly
half
been
the time you can't
not.
Sell it. I don't know. I mean, there. I suppose if I had 1,000 bitcoins, I'd be happy.
Right. Yeah, right. In fact, we have a story here on that the @Bitcoin Twitter account. Where is this here? I have it here. Here it is. The @Bitcoin Twitter account is back up after it was taken down last week, but it was put back up with 750,000 less followers than before. It seems that...
How many followers did it have?
I guess 1.5 million, I guess, because they have about 750 now. So this Bitcoin, @Bitcoin, is someone who constantly trashes Bitcoin because they are a proponent of Bitcoin Cash. So they're always attacking Bitcoin. Hmm. You know, trying to say how much better Bitcoin Cash is and all that. And they got a lot of complaints, probably from the Bitcoin supporters. And Twitter took it down and then gave the name to somebody else for a brief period of time until they changed it back. And now when they changed it back, it's 750,000 less followers. Probably because a lot of people dropped off when the new person came in.
Well, but you don't know, maybe. Oh, yeah, during that little moment, maybe.
Yeah. And then even though the cryptocurrencies are sagging, let's get a quick price check of Bitcoin, why don't we? Let's see here. Bitcoin is not coming up on my screen. All right, here it is. Bitcoin is now trading at 6833. Ethereum's at 415. Bitcoin, Litecoin's at 114. So way down. Way, way down. And
not down until it's back to 400.
Yeah, that is buyable. Then we'll talk about it. George Soros is now investing in digital assets, and he's trading it through his $26 billion hedge fund and family office.
He's trading Bitcoin?
He said he's going to start, yep. And he was really on the whole Bitcoin bubble thing for a while. And he said recently, as long as you have dictatorships on the rise, you'll have a different ending because the rulers in those countries will turn to Bitcoin to build a next nest egg abroad. You know, he's a big Trump hater, so I think that was kind of a dig. And possibly believing this and trying to get in on the idea that, you know, all these governments around the world are going to collapse. Whether you have Russia, you know, and you have Venezuela with their dictatorships, and you have now, of course, as he would say, you know, the U.S. with their dictatorship, and all this happening here, according to him. So he's involved in this now, and he's been involved for a while. He also had a couple of these other, I think he had Riot, Blockchain, and a few other stocks that he invested in that got his ass handed to him. So several other hedge funds also are talking about trading, you know, getting involved in trading. What's really interesting is that, I don't know if I've ever thought I would say this, but the price of cryptocurrencies right now, particularly the big ones like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, are less volatile than the Dow Jones Industrial Average over the last month or so.
This is just a phenomenon. It's a short-term phenomenon. They're usually all over the place.
They haven't moved. They just stuck. I mean, a little bit here and there, but, you know, not seeing those 25% moves or, you know, even 10% moves, like, you know, 2% this way, 1% that way in a day, not moving a lot. The cover story for Barron's this weekend is all about artificial intelligence.
Your favorite magazine.
Yep, AI. AI, as we call it, used in financial firms to pick stocks to improve performance. Now, I don't know if you watched this, but this was a great storyline this week in this week's Showtime series, Billions. Do you watch that?
I have watched it on occasion. I don't watch it religiously, no.
I think it's a great show. I think the dialogue's great. Paul Giamatti's great. The cast is great. Really.
Yeah, it's just another show I don't need to watch.
Oh, okay. Well, so in this storyline, there was a little bit more about algos and building an algo and who could build it. And they brought forth the algo builders, these young computer engineers and statistics guys and all this, right? And they just basically made them look like total idiots. You know, one guy comes in for an interview, throws his feet up on the desk and says, "You don't need me. I don't need you. You need me." And this and that, and goes through this whole thing. And then they just blasted him. But anyway, the point is that this whole idea is that artificial intelligence is going to be used to start picking stocks. And here's my problem with this. I think there is the opportunity, as we've seen with algos right now trading the markets, the opportunity for these, it's not really artificial intelligence, let's get that straight. It's watching for patterns. It's building patterns that are repeatable, at least identifiable, and having the ability to just act on them without any human intervention and emotion. So the problem I have is that it would seem to me that the more AIs you have, the more that there'll be pattern recognition, which means that there'll be more that the patterns will be followed, therefore allowing for those to be recognized and exploited by others. Does that make sense?
Well, this is, again, just like the gentleman's agreement we talk about.
Yeah.
It could be a variation of that phenomenon.
Yeah, I was. If everything was running on, first of all, everything was running on artificial intelligence, nothing, if 100%. Nothing would move at all, right? Unless there was some major, there would be no
news, big news.
No, but I'm
some news.
Well, yeah, news.
Breaking news, that would make it move.
Breaking news would make it move. Yes, I agree with you that. But I'm talking about in picking stocks for the idea of improving performance, because they could do a better job of analyzing a balance sheet or a cash flow statement.
Isn't that what we have now with these various computer programs? You have one that you run.
Yeah.
Where you stick a stock in and out comes a conclusion. Isn't that the same thing? Only this is just do a bunch of them at once?
I suppose, but it would seem that if you add that with the patterns, I don't know. It just, you know, there's one thing having computers.
Sounds like horse shit is what it sounds like.
What, my thesis or the whole AI?
The AI thing.
I agree with it. That's what I'm trying to say. I agree with that. I totally agree with that. And what financial firm, I mean, if you're at the top of the list and you can put this all together and sell it to your clients, there'll be no more staff. What do they do?
Well, that's a money saver.
Yeah. What do they do?
Good for the bottom line.
Yeah.
Our machine told us to do this.
Yeah. I just see the potential of one machine going a little haywire for some reason. I don't know. Somebody tripped over the plug and pulled the plug or something like that. And then every other one of these following along because it starts cascading and just getting crazy. Or, you know, either way, up or down. Which has happened. You know, which has happened.
Yeah, that will always happen with computers.
Yeah. The other thing
they're further along with AI than they were in 1980.
Right. Just like they're no further along with total autonomous driving.
Right. Autonomous driving is a good example. Stock picking by AI. Yeah. There'll be some nice conservative bets that'll come out. Oh, buy, you know, some of this. And it won't be interesting.
I want to be.
Won't be a sleeper.
When somebody comes out with an AI that just could pick stocks and just, I think we should have a competing dartboard like the old days. Remember the old days, the monkey and the dartboard.
Yeah, the monkey. Yeah.
Take the monkey and the dartboard, and we'll put it against it. Just a gentleman's bet.
But here's another thing: if this thing could do that at all, why wouldn't you just set it up to buy and sell as a day trader? Like an automated system. You say, here's $1,000, push the button, go. And every day it would pick up, you know, it would be day trading on its own. You don't have to do it now. Instead of the day trading thing's a pain in the ass. People would do it for a living. The machine would do it and it'd be a money machine. Bull.
Yeah. I think there's something, you know, and just to say that it was on the cover of Barron's also proves the point that it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, there's your favorite,
there's
Barron's.
There's my tie-in. All right, quickly, Tesla still having cash burn problems and big debt load problems. Of course, the SolarCity acquisition, which they saved from bankruptcy because that was one of the, I think it was Elon Musk's cousin. Still a big problem. They took in about $3.6 billion worth of debt. So they have that debt load they're paying. We have a recent downgrade of the debt overall. The big question with this cash burn is, will the company be able to sell another big round of funding to the shareholders? And will they be excited as they have been in the past? And today, after we saw, this was interesting, I thought, after we saw that China is going to be a little bit more forgiving and limit the tariffs or, you know, taxes that they have on importing of American cars, they came out, would you think that would probably be good for Tesla, right?
Yep.
Goldman reiterates their sell rating. And why would they reiterate that today? Because they want to tell you that doesn't matter if China's going to be buying cars, it's still a problem.
Yeah. Actually, it doesn't matter because Tesla can't seem to make cars.
Yeah, they've had a little bit of a problem there. But they're going to Mars. Cars going to Mars with our man.
Yeah.
To a place that it would take a year to get to, and I don't even know how you start the digging process, and we don't even know anything about the structure of it and if it could actually hold buildings and how you're going to make air. The whole thing I don't understand. I keep on trying to understand this. It sounds really
understand.
Cool.
It's bull crap. Oh. It's just Tesla. It's just Tesla. His name is Tesla now. It's just Elon Musk's. He's just a showman. He's like P.T. Barnum.
He does a good
job. Which does give the indication that maybe this company can get out of this rut and pull up from this downturn.
I mean, these cars are really cool. There's no question about that. You know, and the Solar City
stuff.
They're
not as cool as they were when they came out.
Yeah, well, the original cars.
The S's are, you know, they're getting dated looking. They've been out for years. The X is stupid looking. It's got a big hunchback. It's kind of squat, you know, kind of a funky looking thing. I don't like it. And then the little sports car they're going to upgrade, they may bring that out again. And they can't make the 3, which is just a little miniature version of the S.
If they took if somehow they could take the Aston Martin body of that great little sports car and put it.
Yeah, the one you like so much.
That'd be great. I'd buy that. That I'd like. All right, real quick, backdoor action going on here. So here's something fascinating that everybody needs to pay attention to. You know how the big banks for a while, they were all involved in the subprime mortgages and subprime debt and subprime loans and subprime this and then packaging it up and selling them. And that led to the financial crisis, right?
Yes.
So they're not doing that anymore, right?
I thought they still were.
No, they kind of cut back on that in a big way. They have to have a much greater quality on their books. But what they're doing now is There's a new approach. So instead of directly lending to subprime borrowers, what they're doing is lending to another non-bank financial firm. And that so they lend to them, and that non-bank financial firm, and there's a lot of them out there, indirectly, what it becomes is that now the banks are indirectly funding subprime lenders that do the dirty work. So like a subsidiary of sorts that's not affiliated with you.
Well, it's a little more of a hands-off approach.
But are
they bundling still? Going back to bundling?
Well, it's kind of like bundling because now they're taking a chunk of their money. Let's say they take $10 million and they give it to John C. Dvorak. And they're saying, okay, what's on here? Something's going on here. Somebody's logging into my computers or something. What is going on here? What's happening is that it's kind of like a bundle because they're lending it to another party, and then that one tranche of $10 million is being spread out onto all those different borrowers.
Right,
you follow what I'm saying? It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I guess it's similar.
A twist on the same thing. A twist on the old thing. Last thing here. Facebook, I want to mention. Today, right before he went in front of Congress, they're launching a data abuse bounty to reward people who report any misuse of data by app developers. We're committed to launching this program a few weeks ago as part of the efforts to more quickly uncover potential abuse of people's information. The data abuse bounty, inspired by the existing bug bounty program that we use to uncover and address security issues, will help us identify violators of our policies. But did you know this? Yeah. Did you know this part? Facebook scans the links and images that people send each other on Facebook Messenger and reads chats when they're flagged by moderators. They flag them and send them off to moderators that can make sure that the content abides by the company's rules in Facebook Messenger. Hey, like that.
This is like the Microsoft thing where they're supposed to start clamping down on people using Skype.
Skype and Xbox, yeah. Which we still don't understand how that works.
I don't know how it would work and why you would want to do it. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, at all. Makes no sense. It's zero sense.
Soon they're going to have like sensors during conversations when you're in person. You can't say certain things.
Yeah.
You'll have an implant in and it will send a very sharp pain into your brain if you say something wrong.
Maybe.
There's movies like that that will explode your head. Real quick, before we get to our Fed limericks, please do me a favor. Last week was very, very poor showing on this last week, but we need your donation to keep things going for the various awards, t-shirts, bandwidth, and whiskey and things like that we need. So go over to DH Unplugged, click the donate button. Of course, you could buy a shirt that is signed. But did you get the shirt I sent you?
Yes, it just came.
Okay, good. We had a couple people buy shirts the last couple of weeks. Just to let you know, prices are going up each and every show. The price for a shirt signed by myself and John C. Dvorak, and we'll send that to you, is $403. So if you would like to donate and you haven't done so, maybe make some money.
It's $404 next show.
Yep, that's right. It's going up. Doesn't go down. So make sure to do that. You go over just to the donate button, and if you want to buy a shirt, just we'll know if you put in $403. If that seems like a lot of money, think about how much you're paying for all the different services that you have on a weekly basis, how long you've been listening without paying, and maybe a stock tip here or there that you get, because our stock tips have been doing pretty good. So I encourage you to do that.
Yeah, they're all a lot of green.
Yep. All right, we have some Fed limericks. We're back on the Fed wagon where we were off of it for a while. Okay, so we have two. Let me get a pad of paper here because I need to write down what yours and the chat room's
grade
scoring is on these here. Okay. All right, here we go.
Oh, you did another one this week.
I did one, yep. Mm-hmm. All right, the first one's from Simon Davies. I think he's a first timer. Yellen left the Fed with a tear. No, let me start again. Fear. Yellen left the Fed with a tear. Traders panicked and trembled in fear. Markets tumbled, traders' heads grumbled, but still we are up for the year.
I like that one. It was it's a little hip-hop-ish. You got the timing of the one line is short, but it works. I think it works very well. So I'm going to give him an A minus.
Wow. You're feeling good tonight. Wow. A minus, huh? All right. We got B pluses. We got Bs. All right. Here's one from me. Inflation is starting to rise. Of this, the Fed is apprised. If a hike is to be, then we all would agree that stocks will come off of their highs.
Another good one. Uh-oh. I'm going to give that one an A minus.
An A minus. AH gets an A minus.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a double A plus.
Roll.
I got A pluses. A lot of A. Oh, I got one A minus, double A plus. Maybe there's a typo there. And an A plus. All right, gang.
Well, you're in the top category.
Yep. There we go. Let's see here. The close to the pin, which you still, I only sent you two emails on this. Close to the pin.
Oh, sorry. I'll send it right back as soon as I get off the show.
Okay. Boom. For the close to the pin, for the Home Depot, which is another way that you can win a t-shirt, but it's a much harder process.
And it's not signed.
Yeah, that's right. You might as well just pay up and just get your shirt already. But you can win a t-shirt, a DH Unplugged t-shirt, and a wonderful certificate if you get to the closest price for Home Depot, which I think you have until this Friday to get your actual price in. So then it's going to be closing on the 20th. So the price closed on the 20th is the price that we actually will reflect to see who the winner is. So it will be starting to run next week. Here's something. So you and I have been, I guess you'll use one of your words, grousing about how the weather is used as a regular excuse by companies.
It's mainly you, by the way.
Oh, it's me? I'm a grouser?
Yeah, you're the one that's grousing about this weather thing. I picked up on it, so I do it now too, but uh-huh. You started it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, while I've been complaining and miserable about how all these companies choose when to use these excuses, neither of us picked up on something.
Oh.
Right? We're so close-minded into the excuse category that we just say, well, if the weather is bad, then who does that benefit? We didn't get to that side.
No, that's true.
We missed it, totally, you know? So here's a news item that came out tonight that I thought was really interesting. Compass Materials, that sells salt products. Sales were up 20% this year.
Well, is salt for the road?
Yeah, salt for the heavy snow season.
Oh, God, what a weird investment that is.
I mean, they do other salt products as well, but, you know, for industrial use, et cetera. But how do you like that? Totally miss that. You always got to think both sides.
What's the action on the stock? What happened?
I got to look at how the stock did.
Did it skyrocket?
Let's go here. Let's see where the stock's been for the last few months, because usually they're ahead of things. So what's the symbol there?
Did it fall like a rock?
Oh, let's see here. It's CMP. 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 Enter. The stock has been, let's see here, year to date. It's down. So much for that.
It's down.
Yep. Started out about 75 and now it's 62. So much for that theory. The idea was sound. The execution was
bad. A good idea, but it didn't work.
So, you know, maybe we should stay away from weather all the whole time. Maybe that's the case. Sprint is back at it again. Sprint and T-Mobile have started and restarted their merger talks.
That's why Sprint skyrocketed.
Yep, up 21% of the news. So this has been going on for a while. Top asset manager BlackRock is said to offer new investment strategies. I just wonder if this is just trying to profit on bad news. So they're going to offer a new investment strategy in ETFs that exclude civilian firearms producers and retailers. Do they think they're making a social statement there? What are they doing?
Not much of a social statement.
I mean, how many publicly traded companies are in the firearms business? You have a few that do guns and ammunition and things like that, right?
Most have been privatized, and one of them just went broke recently, and they had to refinance again. Remington, I think.
Yep, Remington. But you're not.
Yeah,
But Raytheon and any of the companies that have guns or munitions or anything that can kill people through that kind of product, is okay. It's just the civilian stuff. So you have maybe.
So Raytheon's okay, yep. But Colt's not.
Right. And then you have these stores
that's,
like.
That's a big statement. That's a, there you go. That's social justice right there.
And you have like maybe Dick's and a few other, maybe, well, Walmart. I don't know if they still sell it. Maybe they don't, but.
Cabela's.
Yeah. So they're going to have this new product they're making. And the big thing is they're going to say, is, you know, this one, everything that you got in the other product, but no firearms producers and retailers. Yeah. Hmm. PR. Any guesses on the richest zip code in America? Or maybe
well,
give me,
it's not
give me
my zip code.
Give me a vicinity.
I would say, well, Atherton and Woodside used to always be big numbers, but I think it's like some. I think it's back east somewhere, like in the Washington, D.C. area.
Right now, the richest zip code is Fisher Island, Florida, which is just...
Wow.
You know what that is? Have you been there?
No, I never heard of it.
So it's just, if you go down the 836, I think it is, or 826, one of those roads, this goes from 95 across to, it makes its way all the way across to Miami Beach, South Beach and all that. And you go across there, and you pass all these very wealthy... houses on the Finger Islands of, you know, Miami, all these where all the stars live and Stallone lives and Madonna and all these people. On the right before you get into Miami Beach, on the beach, there's a little, I guess you would call it a ferry that carries cars and people. And that's the only way to get to this island.
Okay.
And on that island is just a lot of buildings. Well, some other things too. But basically, if you want to buy food and stuff like that, you got to get off the island and you got to go buy it.
Maybe to buy food.
Yeah.
I have to get on the ferry and go back to like Miami.
Right. It's probably
seems
only
inconvenient. Yeah, it's like do they even have a 7-Eleven on this island?
They may have some. I don't know, but it's a pretty small place. And I guess it has its own zip code. $2.5 million average income.
Well, how many people, if there's 10 people that live there, then it's ludicrous.
Yeah, I got to look at the population. Somebody look up the population of Fisher Island. While we're talking. And the last thing is, it's maybe time for you to, I was just thinking, maybe time for you to get a tool chest. Because the U.S.
tool chest?
Yes. The U.S. Commerce Department said on Thursday that it's determined that tool chests and cabinets made in China and Vietnam are being dumped in the U.S. market and announced prospective import duties on the products ranging up to 325%.
Tool chests from Vietnam and China. Well, I assume the Vietnam ones are very well made because I've been there and they do great woodwork. Although this tool chest should be made out of metal. Chinese tool chest. You know, they had some tool chests on sale at Costco some months back and I looked at them and I said, these are really well-priced tool chests and they were big. You know, what do you use a tool chest for nowadays to put your tools in?
I would think that's probably one of the things you could do.
But you can do other things, yeah.
I mean, I have a whole bunch
would come in handy. A small tool chest would come in handy to store cables and connectors and power supplies.
Fishing materials. All my fishing stuff is in there. All my things that we use to make various lines and things like that. Tie up, you know, tackle. We have one of those small.
I have to think about it. Maybe I could use a couple tool chests. It may help me get organized.
Gotta get going. 132 is the population.
So there's 100, that does, this is, who cares?
Yep, I agree. Before we get to the stocks, what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine this week?
Actually, I'm writing about Zuckerberg's testimony.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how he sat up straight and...
No. I wrote it before he testified. I have a dialogue that I said, this is the way that it should go with Zuckerberg chewing them out for being stupid.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote a little dialogue along these lines saying this is what I think would be ideal, but it was just an imaginary. I know it's not going to happen. There's no way. And I discussed some of the other things just in general. I don't think this is a big deal. And I think it's somewhat unfair, but yet people I'm not a Facebook user, so I think I can say all these things. That if people go on Facebook and they voluntarily give up all their information and then somebody else puts it in a dossier somewhere because you already gave it away. I think that's just the way, you know, that just the person's got to have some responsibility for this, not Facebook.
So do you think that because they put it on Facebook, it becomes public record?
Yeah, I do.
Pretty much. I don't think people care anymore.
It's like Flickr photos. I mean, people have, you know, all these photos of them being drunk and downing, you know, the chugging stuff and lifting up their skirts and all that sort of thing. They put it on Flickr. As far as I'm concerned, it's public domain. And if I'm going to, you know, if their person's asking for work and I can find these photos and see that this person, boy or girl, is just a goofball, I won't hire them. They're the ones who voluntarily told me this in those photos.
Yep.
That's my argument.
All right. Well, let's get to the stocks. The game to play is not an offer to buy or selling securities, not a recommendation of any sort, any kind, in any manner. And if you decide for whatever reason to follow along on the things that we talk about, then do yourselves a favor and make sure to get professional financial advice and professional advice of any other kind as well, because it's very risky. You could lose a lot of money with it. We don't take any responsibility for that. Horowitz & Company, John C. Dvorak, and clients of Horowitz & Company and me, and might miss something. If we own it, we'll disclose it. We'll mention it. So a couple of things got booted, buddy. Facebook got booted.
My short. Yeah, Facebook and Transocean.
Yep. And actually, CRISPR, unfortunately, it did hit a stop. It was up to 49 today. It got booted at 44. So if anybody followed in on the idea of the gene editing, the Editas is still live at 8.5% up. Spotify was taken out that day. It moved down to 135, then moved right back up.
Yeah.
And now I think it's 156 now.
Yeah, I should short it again.
Okay, there you go. There you go. And by the way, you can find all of these on DH Unplugged on the weekly stock picks page, where this is live and updating on a regular basis. So you can see what's live, what's in, what the thesis was, et cetera. I'm moving quickly because we are kind of out of time.
Okay.
I have one pick. I'm shorting Tesla.
All right. Well, I'm going to go along on the Russians.
Ah, the Ruskies. RSU. The triple?
Yeah, let's go with that. RUS. Let's do both. RSX and RUS.
I don't know what the benefit that is, but I'll go with it.
So then also I want to short Spotify.
Let me. I got to insert rows here. What was that? Spot 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 and no, I don't want to do that here. RSX. All right, so we got RSX, we got SPOT and RU.
Oh, I see the anomaly on this thing. I forgot to mention it. Since you got bumped off of Facebook short, I'm still long right. on
That's
Facebook. Correct.
That's a good point. You're up 8.5%.
Yeah.
Yep. What so if RSX has a 10% stop on it, which is fine because it's a normal one-timer in that, the RUSL, since it moves three times, do you want to put a higher stop, like 15%?
Nah.
No, it's going to be about 10%.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, and these are...
Shaking the dice on these.
Did you see the email I sent you on...
Which one?
Baker Brothers?
No, I didn't.
I must have the wrong address.
But, no, I'll go look it up in a minute.
Yeah, the Baker Brothers up their ante in one of these healthcare stocks. So I was thinking you may want to look at that, insiders.
Oh, I don't have any record of this happening.
So take a look at that.
All right, I will. Maybe we'll put it on the next week. We'll go for it.
All right, well, I'll talk to you then next week.
Okay, thanks.
See you, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.